We had a great time in Africa, and I just want to thank you for all your prayers and for your support. So many people were praying, I know that, and I was asking for prayers that we wouldn't get sick, and not a single one of us got sick on the entire trip. And so it was an awesome trip, and just the people who also gave, was so encouraged by that, and the grace giving I was able to see from some of you was just amazing. But just really thankful for that, and I have to give a very short version of this trip in the next 15 minutes, so I'll do the best I can. But just to start by saying, this felt totally inadequate for this trip. I mean, I knew going into it I was going to have to teach two Sunday schools, and I've never taught Sunday school before, and not a clue the type of people I was going to be talking to and how mature they were and just different things. So just was really going into it blind and was nervous, and I don't like flying, and it's 20 hours one way just to get to Africa in a plane. And so, again, I get motion sickness, so I was nervous about that, and just where you're going to do home-to-home, and that's nerve-wracking. I mean, who's comfortable doing home-to-home? And so just a lot of feelings of just nervousness, a little anxiety, and just totally feeling inadequate heading into this trip. But knew God called me to Uganda. When I was first asked about the trip, I was at Frontier School of the Bible, and the leader for the trip said, hey, we're going to Uganda this year. I just wanted to know if you might be interested. I need to know within a week. I'm like, okay. But I started praying about it, and I could not get Uganda off my mind. And God had actually showed me probably a year at least before that. I don't know if my mom remembers or not, but I told her, I'm pretty sure God's going to call me to Africa someday. And there it was. So I said yes and was willing to go, just do the works that God prepared beforehand. And that's really what he asks of us. He has work prepared for each one of you here, and all he asks is that you walk in those works. He doesn't ask you to be perfect. He doesn't ask you to be thinking that you can do it, but he just asks you to be faithful because he's faithful to take you through them. And so that was my mindset, is I'm going to do it because I know God wants me to, and I'll let him work in me. And so just to kind of fast forward, the first day of ministry for us really was at the Luandan Children's Home, and this is a neat place. I mean, it's an orphan home, but I don't know if I'll say this right, but they are all basically adopted by the school that's also there. So each of these orphan kids has a home. There's four homes there, and there's a single mom in three of the homes that takes care of each group of kids in those homes, and then there's another home with a pastor and his wife that cares for that home. So they have a place to be there and under a parent, if you will, and it's just an amazing environment. And we first got out of the vans there, and I'm the first one to walk out of the van, and this kid just comes running up to me, wraps his arms around me, and looks up at me, and it was just the sweetest thing. And the rest of the day, he's holding my hand, and there's other kids trying to grab my hand, and I don't know what he's saying in the Ugandan language, but he's not happy, and he's pushing them away from me, and I'm having to hold him back. But just an amazing time, and they showed us around the whole place there, and they have different animals that they use, of course, for produce and just to help them out financially, and some amazing crops. And so they showed us the way around that place, and they performed a dance for us, a couple dances and some songs, and then I played guitar, and we played a song for them, and they absolutely loved that. And then we did a puppet show for them, too, from the story of Daniel, and I had to be Daniel, and through that, God showed me that I'm not gifted for puppet ministry. Is the most embarrassing thing I've ever did, but I'm sure the kids liked it, so we did that too, and just had a great first day there. And we also brought some balls to play with them. We brought a volleyball and soccer ball, and I had went to get a drink of water when they first gave them the balls, but when I walked back out, I was standing basically in a situation like this where I'm overlooking the whole play area, and it was just the most beautiful picture of joy that you've ever seen. Just all these kids just screaming and so happy to have these balls, and I was just thinking of how pleased God must have been at this time to overlook this, and it was just a great thing for me to see. So a great first day to kind of just warm up to the people and see what they're like, and the kids there are just amazing and so excited to see us. But the next day was Sunday, and so I had to preach my first Sunday school. I taught the youth, and they didn't have a translator ready for me, and so they found someone, and I had no idea how to do things with a translator, so I'm looking at him. I'm like, tell them this, and he's looking at me. He's like, well, you tell them that, and then I'll tell them. So I had to learn the hard way. I didn't think the message went very well, and I got done pretty early, but then the Holy Spirit kind of took over, and I shared my testimony, and they just kind of got quiet as I shared it, and they just started cheering at the end, and they loved that, and then they started asking me questions. So just really had a great day with the youth there, and just a great time with them. And we were also teamed up with Rocky Mountain Bible Church, so there was 12 of them, and so their pastor preached that Sunday message and did a great job, and I got to learn the proper way to use a translator through that. But so that was our Sunday, our first Sunday, and that was a really mature church, so that was encouraging to see. It was the Presbyterian Church of Mbali. But Monday through Friday, that was going to be our time to evangelize. I didn't even know it, but we were actually doing an outreach for the Church of Bukiende, which they had some problems with a previous pastor, so a lot of people in the area were kind of hard-hearted towards that church, and so we wanted to help out the new pastor and just reach these people and just share with them the gospel and then try to get the believers to, you know, show some forgiveness and come back to church. And that was the part of the trip I was most looking forward to, because there's nothing greater for me than to want to see a soul get saved from eternity in hell. So I was really excited for that. So Monday through Friday, I paired up with a translator. We each had one. And we just went, we got dropped off, and we just hit every house that we walked by and shared the gospel. And it was amazing. As soon as you walk up to a house, they're like, oh my goodness, a Mzungu. That's what they call white English-speaking people. A Mzungu's here, and they go grab a chair for you and set it out in the shade. And every single house did that for me, and they're just willing to hear the gospel. And my favorite story from that was the third home that I shared at, and I was feeling really inadequate again at this point, because the first two, just I kind of stumbled through the gospel. I couldn't decide if I wanted to use a gospel track or if I wanted to just do it off my head. So I was feeling inadequate. The first two didn't go that well. And I walked up to this third house, and the husband came forward first, and he said he was too busy, but he was excited to see us, and he had to go, but he said we could share with his wife. And so I sat down, and his wife sat down next to me with her kids, and she told me what she believed, and she was a religious person, and I knew she was trusting in works. And so I shared the gospel with this lady, and still at the end of it, she was still trusting in works. And so, again, the Holy Spirit took over for me, and I just started basically preaching to this lady, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. I was explaining grace to her. I preached from Romans 11, 6, and 4, 5. And as I'm preaching to her and explaining these verses to her and explaining grace to her, tears are starting to roll down this lady's face. And at the end of the once the translator would finish each thing for me, I'm watching her just getting it, and her head's nodding, and just the tears are flowing. And it's just the most amazing thing I ever saw, because I was walking up to this house, and I was frustrated, and I was praying to God. I said, God, just show me your power to salvation. I want to see your word change someone, because I am struggling to preach this properly. And he showed me in the most amazing way. I got to outwardly watch this lady be transformed by the word of God. And so she trusted Christ. And just that was the best part of the whole trip for me. I met up with the trip leader on the trail right after that. I was like, I think I just led someone to Christ. And she's like, well, yeah, it's going to happen. But it can't get better than that. And we led a lot of people to Christ. I mean, a ton of people between our whole group that came to faith. But there were some hard things, too. I ran into one guy multiple guys who wouldn't trust Christ because they were selling alcohol, which is illegal. But they needed to do that to put their kids through school. So they said they weren't ready to trust Christ. And so I kind of stumbled through that, because the guy was understanding that he was a sinner. And he understood that if he trusted Christ, that sin becomes a reality in his life. But I tried to tell him, you know, it's a free gift from God, but they didn't trust Christ. So you ran into some hard things there. And one lady, her husband had another wife, and I struggled through that one too, to know what to say to her. But I told her about Genesis. She told me she didn't even know it was sin. So I'm not sure if she did or not, but got to talk to her, and just some hard things. You saw some rough things. You saw some extreme poverty as you went home to home. And just one, actually two more stories from that. There was one couple I led to Christ, but when I first approached them, I was asking them, you know, what they believed. And they said, well, we just believe what the preacher tells us. And that's a real thing, because most of them can't afford a Bible. So they have no way of testing what they're being told. And so I said, listen, I have the Bible in my hand. This is the Word of God. I am simply going to tell you what He says. And they got all excited and they both trusted Christ. So that was a cool story. And then another one, I had led this mom to Christ, and she said, yeah, I want to believe. And all of a sudden her daughter came walking out in her school clothes. And I said, well, what about her? Did she hear me? Does she want to believe? And it turns out that's why she came out, because she heard me preach to her mom. And she's like, well, I want to believe too. But she was home sick from school. And so I prayed for both of them, and we were kneeling down in a circle holding hands. And I was praying for them both, and just we were telling Jesus that they believed in Him. And I was just about to the end of my prayer, and she starts throwing up. And as I'm finishing my prayer, and it turns out she was homesick with malaria, and they didn't have any medicine for her. So just some tough things you run into, too. And then each night after we evangelized, we would have a crusade. Every single night at that church of Bukiende, we had a crusade where we did an evangelistic message, and the people trusted Christ through that. And just as you saw, that where the kids were speaking, and where you saw him preaching with the translator, that was the crusade. And we had a lot of people come to that and trust Christ. And just getting to watch the people in Africa worship is amazing. I mean, they would come here and wonder what we were doing, because we're not dancing and singing like them. But that was a neat experience. And just had a great time with the Crusades, too. And I didn't have to preach any, but I shared my testimony. But Thursday was the one day that I didn't go house to house. And that day, I went to schools, and we went to three different schools, and they were public schools, and we did evangelistic messages there too, and I preached at two schools, and some people trusted Christ. And it's really neat there, because even in these public schools, they're teaching these kids the Bible, and you're not going to get that in America. So that was really cool to see. I mean, there's a ton of kids that were already believers. So this was really encouraged by that too. And then Saturday, we had a pretty easy day. We went and joined with this school group. They had someone purchased a piece of property for them, so we just went alongside them just to encourage them. And we went to the property with them and took pictures of them, and they were all excited, so excited to have that property to put a school in. And then we went to the church with them, and they put on this huge meal, and it was literally like Jesus feeding the 5,000, because like the local people joined in once they saw there was food, and they just kept coming through the line, and there was food for everyone. It was just amazing, and just people were so excited, because I don't think they get a real meal like that too often. So that was great to see. And then our last day was a Sunday, and I got to go to the church at Bukiende where we had been evangelizing all week, so I was really blessed by that. And that's a church of 30 or 40 is what he had been getting each week. And we had well over 100 that Sunday. So the efforts from the evangelizing obviously had a big impact on that area. But I preached a Sunday school there on James 2, Faith Without Works Being Dead, because the people there really struggle with understanding grace and understanding that if you trust Christ, you're saved. And they struggle with that. So I figured that they had been probably taught throughout their lives that message wrong in James 2. So I wanted to teach that passage and clear that up for them. And the pastors were just loving it. When I got done, they were really excited about that message. And it went really well for my second Sunday school. I was just blessed to see God working through me in that. And the message for that Sunday went hand in hand with mine. And it was just a powerful finish to the trip. And they sent us off, and it was just an emotional time. Just I didn't want to leave them. I mean, I was tired from this whole 2 weeks of ministry, but I did not want to leave those people, and just wanted to follow up with them. They're so amazing to be around. They have so much joy in the Lord, and just with the little they have, I mean, they really humble you being there. But just overall, just an unbelievable trip. Just so thankful to have those works to get to walk in them. And I guess the last thing I'll say is just for all of you, I mean, like I said earlier, God has prepared works for each one of you, and I don't know what that looks like. It might be right here in Bark River for you. For some, He might call you to Africa or Brazil or who knows where. But I promise you that God is faithful if you're willing to step into those works. And if you do that, you will have the greatest joy you could ever experience in your life. But if you're not willing to do that, you're just missing out. And so that's my challenge to you is this. Are you willing to do what God has called you to do? And I'm not going to stand up here like Peter and say, I'm going to live a perfect Christian life. Well, Peter didn't say that, but I mean, you know what I'm saying. I'm not going to be overconfident, but I mean, I know that I want to serve the Lord, and I hope that you do too, because it's so amazing to watch him work if you would just step into those works. So thank you.
It's the Lord. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. And it's so such a joy for us to see individuals grow in his grace and in his knowledge. And, you know, that is by the work of God in our hearts. And so I praise him for that. You're turning there right now, right? Acts 1:8. You see it? Acts 1:8. We want to look at that for just a moment. I want to read that verse to you. This is just before our Lord's ascension. He had risen from the dead, and he had showed himself, presented himself to the apostles numerous times. Acts 1:8, he says these words to them and to us. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. What is your mission in life? Why are you here? What has God called you to? What is your purpose? Those are all questions that I think we've all wondered and need to consider. Maybe I can say it this way. What is your mission? What is your mission? Your mission. Do you even have one? Well, I want you to know that you do. You do. And if you can grasp it, it will give you purpose and meaning in life. Additionally, it will give you the greatest peace, the deepest joy, and the greatest feeling of accomplishment that you have and satisfaction that you have ever had. I think you heard some of that just a moment ago. Well, what is it? Luke records the words that Jesus set before us in this text. And I want you to know that every coworker of yours, every client, every employee, every friend, every family member, every enemy, every student, every relative, what they need from you, they need to observe and see someone who is in love with the Lord and is walking with him, and that overflows into beautiful power and witness for Jesus Christ. That's what they need to see. And I would submit to you that every relationship we have is ordained by God to point others to Jesus. That's really what this is about. You don't need to run to Uganda to have mission in life, purpose in life. You don't need to go to a foreign country. You don't need to go to the other side of America. What you need to do is to look at those contacts that God has given you in your life and realize that in those contacts, those people, God has ordained that you would present to them a believer on fire for the Lord, ready to share Christ, living as you ought to live. I just would begin here with this thought that you are needed. Verse 8 tells us that very clearly. Notice what it says here. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Very pointed to every believer that you're needed. God has something for you. What Jesus did after his resurrection, just before his ascension into heaven, was to pass the baton to us, to everyone, to declare, every follower, to declare what he has accomplished on the cross and through his resurrection to the world, to my family, to my neighbor. What is so amazing about this is that there were many ways that God could have chosen to give this message to those who needed to hear it. He could have worked it through angels. The rocks could have cried out, the skies, he could have written it there, the rivers could have declared it, or the birds of the air took it to take it right to us. God could have done that, but he didn't. He chose people. He chose you, and he chose me. to do that. He's entrusted us to declare His glorious gospel to wherever we're at, with whoever He puts in our circle of influence. They need to hear a witness about Jesus. So I want you to know you're needed. And I want you to know as well you're vital. God has made each of us with a specific personality to reach those on our contact list. God has given some of you tremendous boldness to share Christ with little or no hesitation anywhere and everywhere. And we praise God for that. I praise God for those people. You're vital to the body of Christ. You're needed. And you must declare what He's done in you and through you in the way that He's made you. What I find as well is that God uses those who need a bold witness, sort of an in-your-face, very strong witness. He lines them up often with somebody who needs to hear it that way. Puts them together. But there are those among us who are not like that at all. And they're in the body. Their witness is different for Jesus. And it's not so much up in someone's grill as others can do it. There are those who are they're more timid in that, and they're more mild, and they work that in a beautiful way. And they're vital. And they're needed. And God uses them. And I praise God for them. I do. I thank God for their witness. Often He lines them up with someone who's a lot more timid and mild and laid back, and they need to hear a witness like that. And then there are certainly those that are in between. There are times that I think I see them very strong and right out there, and other times that they're laid back a bit. But they're all vital. Every one of those are vital. And God has made, in this congregation, our personalities, they're just a mixture of those. But on your contact list, those who He has put in your life, they need to hear you through your personality as the Spirit of God leads you, share in the way that you can. They need that. You're vital. I want you to know that. And we need to, you know, there are those that are different than us, and we need to thank God for them because they make up the body. And so we give God praise. So those with those differences, I want you to know that we need to rejoice. We need to praise God. Not everyone's a foot, not everyone's a hand, not everyone's an eye. The body comes together in different ways. Each and every one of them have their place, and they are critical to the witness of Jesus Christ. So what is a contact list? I've mentioned that a couple times. It's everybody you know. It's everybody God has brought into your life. It's everybody. Those who are politically very different than you, they're on your contact list. Those who don't love the Detroit Lions, they're on your contact list. Those who don't all drive Fords, they're on your contact list. But here's the point. God, listen, the God of heaven has put them into your life that you might witness Christ. You'll notice the text, it says, you can be my witnesses both in Jerusalem. That's right where they were at. Before they went to the uttermost part of the earth, the remotest part, it's here. It's here. And you don't need to think, well, one day I'm going to be a missionary. I can't wait. Or one day. No, it's today. Today is when God wants to use you. And there are those on your contact list, your sphere of influence, that today need to hear from you. So don't wait. That's what I'm saying. And I'll get into that just a little more under this next thought. But first I want to say this. Jesus talking about the harvest. There are yet 4 months, John 4:35, and then comes the harvest. Don't say that. Don't say, hey, down the road, harvest is coming. We'll get to that one day. Don't say that. He says, don't say there yet 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. They are white for harvest. And what he's saying is there are those that today need to hear. Matter of fact, when he says white for harvest, that grain, I believe he's speaking of grain here, is past the time it should have been brought in. And what he's saying is today is the day. Right now. Don't wait. Don't put it off. I have done that personally. I have. Very convicting to me to read those words. Put something off when I needed to speak. and then I lost that opportunity. Maybe you've been there. I learned something. Today. Today is the time, and I want to know you're prepared. Anyone who is in Christ has a story to tell. Unique within. We have all heard of those dramatic and powerful transformations of those who were deep, deep, deep in sin. And God rescued them through faith in Christ. Those stories are unique to those people. Maybe that's your story. I don't know. But your particular story, no matter what it is unique. It's what God has worked out. It's special. It's laid down in history forever. And it's no less powerful that God would save someone who wasn't a drunkard, a murderer, an immoral thief, than God saving someone who was. I think of my own story. I grew up in a Christian home. And as a fifth grader, I attended church, I attended Sunday school, did all those things. I was a good boy. Teachers, well, they liked to have me. I was a good boy in class. But you know what? I was lost and headed for hell. As a good boy, just as much as the most vile sinner in the world. Why? Because my sin was on me. And I'd not yet trusted in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross for my sin. I've not yet come to the point where my faith was there. So I don't have a, as some would say, a dramatic, if you would, transformation and rescue and turning to Christ, but it's no less dramatic than the most dramatic. Because in that position, I was guilty. I was hell-bound. Just as the worst sinner in all the world, God reached out to me and gloriously saved me, a good boy headed for hell. That's what He did. Each of us were separated from God because of the wages of sin. But if anyone would make a decision to believe the Word and place their faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior from sin, God will save them. That's our story. You can tell your story. You can tell your story. You are prepared. And now I'm not saying you don't need to grow. And I'm not saying you shouldn't be laboring to understand the Word and the Gospel. No. But I'm saying this. If you think when I get to this level, then I'll start to, once in a while, share something about my story or what God has done in my life. Because, well, maybe they'll ask me a question I can't answer. You'll be waiting a long time. And you'll be playing in the hands of the enemy. You have a story of redemption if you're in Christ. It's unique to you, and we praise God because it's miraculous. Don't be afraid to share it. Share it with everyone on your contact list, your relatives, your grandchildren, your neighbor, your enemy. You share that story. Some of you might go on Facebook and say today, hey, here's all those that read my story, my post. Here it is. I want to tell you the most dramatic thing that's ever happened to me in my life has set me free. Tell your story. Don't stop telling your story. Just do it. It's the power of redemption in the life of a sinner. It's unique. It's exclusive. It's yours alone. You're prepared. You can tell it. I want you to know that. It is a history of how God, the God of heaven, reached into your heart and brought you to Himself. Don't stop telling it. You're prepared enough to tell this story. If you know Him, you are. Some will say, well, what if they ask me something I can't answer? And tell them, you don't know the answer, but you'll get back to them. Don't be afraid, is what I'm saying. Don't be afraid. I will tell you, I've been in the Scripture a long time. There are things that if you ask me today, I won't remember, or I don't yet know. But I can't let that stop me from declaring what I do know. I need to tell them. Share your story. Share your story. Last week, and this is so important, I want to say this. You are empowered. You are empowered. Notice this. Acts 1:8 again. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. There's power there. When a person trusts Jesus Christ as Savior, in that moment in time, a number of things happen. One of the things that happens is the Holy Spirit takes up residence in us. He seals us, but he takes up residence in us. As such, he gives us the power, the grace, and the strength to carry out what God is calling us to. It's not, okay, let me make this clear. It's not, am I going to be a witness? That is not the question. You'll notice what Jesus said. Does he not say, you shall be my witnesses? We all are witnesses. It's not a, I'll take it or leave. No, it's just, how are we doing it? Are we being faithful to God in it? Are we doing what we should be doing? I want you to know this. God has infused each of us with power from on high via the indwelling Holy Spirit. What this means is that God has taken up residence within us. And if we're walking with Him as we should, He will lead us as He pleases and direct us as He needs to. He's the divine helper and teacher who is always with us. He gives us the power to witness Jesus Christ and use that witness. Listen, the power to witness, but also to use that witness as incomplete as it is, and it can always be done better. But he takes that word and that witness, and it's him that finally brings a soul to the point where they understand, I'm a sinner. I have no merit before a holy God. There's one way for me to be saved. It's through faith in Jesus Christ. God does that. And he does that through you and I. It's through his Spirit that souls are saved. It's not up to me to save a soul. It's up to me to witness. It's up to me to declare. God does the saving. Praise his name. Praise his name. Every Sunday I come up here, I declare, and every Monday I know it could have been better. And I'm reminded, you know what? I give the word. As inadequate, and I just do it. And God takes that word and uses it in the lives of people. And I praise him that it is the work of the Spirit. But he takes the word. He takes your witness. He takes your story and he brings it to those in need. And this is our privilege, my friend. One of the greatest privileges on this side of heaven. And if we get walking with the Lord as we should, I don't think it's going to be so much of a chore. I don't think it's going to be, oh, there's so-and-so. I got to make sure I witness to them. I don't think it's going to be that so much as, hey, great to see you. You know, I got to tell you what God's been doing. It's amazing. I give him praise. We can do that. We can do that. God's empowered us, folks, to do this. And I just want to challenge you there to make yourself available. That's it. You know, I'm just a tool in the carpenter's toolbox. That's all I am. Inadequate in and of myself, incapable in and of myself, but I'm willing. I'll go where he wants me to go. I'll declare the way I can. God hasn't stopped saving people. He's still bringing into the kingdom those who he's saving. So he leads us. He guides us. You have those divine appointments. You've got that contact list. It's right there. That's where you start. Simply put, we're just his instruments to be used for his glory. Every relationship we have is ordained by God to this, that we would point others to Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know where you're at in that. And maybe, you know, you hear this morning, you say, well, yeah, I know that. I've failed terribly in this. Join the gang, okay? Join the gang. Get up off the bench. If you fall in, the righteous man falls 7 times. Get up and get going, okay? You know what God's going to say? Yeah, he knows it. You've had opportunity. You got this big yellow streak, right? Right down the middle of the back. I got that too. But we're trusting the Lord. We give ourselves over to the Lord. It's not that we're adequate in ourselves. It's to think anything is coming from ourselves. Our adequacy is in God. And so we join the gang. How many times would you watch the disciples or see some instance, either in those great patriarchs of old, where they lack courage? You join the gang. Get up. And get going. Do it. As inadequate as we are, God takes it and he uses it. He didn't choose perfect people to declare this. There are none. But What an opportunity we have. Every relationship, that's where we start. Every one of them is ordained by God. This will, if you get your head around this will transform your life. It will. It'll give you purpose. It is your mission. It's right there. It's right there. It's right there. That's your mission in life. And so everywhere and anywhere, that is what this is about. So all those, you know, those people you have hobbies with, wherever you're on the golf course, you're in a hunting camp, you're wherever, right there is where you start. And so this is our privilege. What are you going to do with this? What are you going to do with this? Will you avail yourself to allowing God work through you in every relationship to be the one to point others to Jesus? I hope you will. That's my challenge to you today. Let's pray. Loving Father, thank you for giving us purpose in life. Thank you for giving us mission. Thank you for declaring to us and making it clear when we come to faith in Christ, this is what life's about. It's about shining a light to the world that they might see that there's a Savior who saves sinners. I pray, Father, that you will take this group, each one of them, just as you did the early church, and use them as points of contact between the lost sinner and Jesus. And I pray you'll give them joy in doing so. I pray that this will transform what their day is as they go off to work and here and there, that they'll see I've got an opportunity and want to take advantage of it for you. And Father, I believe you'll use them. We're all inadequate in many ways, but thank you for taking people who are imperfect and using them for your glory. We ask your blessing, Father, on this day. Allow our fellowship as we continue to be really sweet. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.